Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Vayishma Yitro.
Etro.
Mahu shama. What did he hear? And here is a very important lesson. A lot of times we hear things, but we act
as if nothing happened.
Exactly. Or sometimes. So, for example, let's see what the Torah is trying to tell us. There are three ways of listening. The first way that we learn is what we say every day in Shirat Hayam, and we said it last week on the Parsha, Shirat Hayam, when Am Yisrael are going out of the sea, and they sing to God, and they say in the song, Az nivalu alofe edom, Elei Moav Yochaze Morag, Namogu Kol Yoshvechnan, Tipol Alem Emartar Apachat. All the nations around got into a fright, a big fright from the greatness of God. What did they do about it?
Nothing.
Then we have a worse one. This is Amalek at the end of Parsha. He hears, and what does he do? He comes to fight against the truth. He knows it's the truth. Everybody knows. Everybody fears, but he goes and fights against it. And this is our worst enemy in the world. And in our Parsha, Baruch Hashem, we find out somebody who listens, he hears, he listens, and he acts accordingly in the right way. This is Yitro. Yitro hears what happened to Am Yisrael. He realizes that God is the God, and that's it. So he comes and joins Am Yisrael. And now, what is the lesson for us? The lesson for us is an unbelievable lesson. First of all, when we talk about Yitro, Amalek, and the Egyptian, and all the nations, it's really talking about us and what's happening to us when we go out in the street. So sometimes we hear things, and you know, okay, goes from here, out from the other side. It doesn't matter what it is, but because people don't want to hear it. It's interfering in our daily life. For example, they tell us it's not good to eat this, it's not good to smoke, it's not good to go here, it's not good to go there. But we like it, we want it, so we eat what we're not allowed to eat and do a lot of things. Why didn't you hear? Yeah, I heard. I know, yeah, but I'm going on. And the worst thing is Amalek. This Amalek inside us, it tells us, okay, so what? You enjoy your life. Look, like smoking. You go to this doctor, and I always give this sample because this is a real sample. Like last time when I came back in the flight from Germany, this from the exhibition, I opened the brochure of the duty free, and you see where the side of the cigarettes, like cigarettes kill. Cigarettes are they are going to cause you a fertile problem. And you know, people stop buying.
No,
they go on buying. But it's written, you've got skulls on the cigarette. And whatever warning from here. And big letters, because they have to do big letters with the warning. And this is like in a magazine that tells you, here, you want to buy poison? And people buy poison. That's Amalek. It's like you go to the doctor shows you a picture of a black lung. You see, this is somebody who smokes. And smoking will kill you. You have to stop smoking. And this guy goes frightening outside. He doesn't know what to do. And then you see the smoking corner. Who is sitting there smoking? The same doctor that 2 minutes ago told him that smoking kills. He says, what are you doing here? You told me that smoking. Yes. So why do you smoke? I like smoking. And we do those things all the time. And the lesson for us is, be aware. That's the part, that's what the Torah is telling us. Be aware. Then, when you're already talking about hearing and not doing anything about it, it's also those who are sitting in the comfort zone. They sit in a position which is no good, but they're used to it. And they don't want to change. You know, sometimes it's unbelievable. You know, you come to those people and tell them, I've got a good offer for you. I'm going to make your life not much better, like unbelievable better. And what does he say, this guy? I have to think about it. What do you have to think about? And then, you know, come the next day. And he comes the next day, what happens? Does he do the change?
No.
Because we are people of habits. We have our comfort zone, and it's sometimes, even if it's, you call it comfort zone, but sometimes it's not comfort at all. But we're used to it. We go on. I'm not going to try a new way. And this is wrong. The Torah is telling us, see, look at Yitro. Yitro was a Kohen Midian. He was a high priest of Midian. He tried all the idols for all kinds, and he found out that God is the one. So you imagine to yourself that the Pope from Rome goes up there and tells everybody, all his believers, people, our belief is a joke. I'm going to become a rabbi. But that's what Yitro is doing.
Yeah.
He leaves his people and he comes and converts himself to be Jewish, to become a part of Am Yisrael, because he knows God is the one. And this is an unbelievable lesson to all of us. And if we're talking about lesson, hearing, why do we say hear Shema Yisrael? Why don't we say Daber Yisrael or Amin Yisrael? Or what is Shema? Because to listen, to hear, there are levels. And for example, you go on the road and you hear somebody peeping, how do you say? Hooting behind you.
It's South Africa.
So what do you do? What do you do? You're going on the road, or you look carefully, or you go back?
No, you don't.
The point is, how do we act to what we hear? If we like it, and if we don't like it. Do we do the calculation? Do we connect the mind with the heart? And that's one of our main problems. Because a lot of times we want things, and because we want them, we just go around things. We don't care on the results. Now, I want to enjoy. Now, I want to do what I want. But it's not good for you. Who cares? And you find all those stupid excuses, like this guy who was smoking, he showed an example. He said, I had a grandmother, she smoked till the age of 99.
Mm-hmm. So what?
So what? I will show you, let's say, millions of people that smoked and it killed them. But this is the way Yetzer Hara works. This is the Amalek inside us. And he is clever. And he takes risks. And he takes risks that you, from the beginning, if you think about it, it's a deadly risk. So Yitro, he hears and he does. Yitro is the first Ger Tzedek. The one is also an interesting lesson for us to understand. Sometimes people think that being a Jew is a privilege that only we have it and nobody else can join it. So it's wrong. We are privileged to be born to the nation, to the Jewish nation. And as we were born to the Jewish nation, we have this sgula. We are sgula. We have these special powers. But
we have to make use of it.
Of course. And anybody in the world, if he wants to join us, he can. And the example is Yitro. Yitro wanted to become Jewish like us, so he came and he did it. And look at that. Who is on the left side in the Chumash? Onkelos. Who is Onkelos? Another Ger Tzedek. The teachers of Hillel Azaken, Hillel, the great Hillel. Who are they? Shmaya and Avtalion, which are also Gerim. David HaMelech comes from Rut HaMoaviyah, which is also a Gera. Who saved Moshe Rabbeinu from the river? Batya. She is called the daughter of God.
Yeah.
Took what level she got to.
Yeah.
So in other words, we haven't got exclusivity on God. But we have duties. As we were born Jewish, we cannot escape it. It's like somebody asked me, if somebody wants to convert to become Jewish, and then he regrets it and he wants to go back, there's no way. That's it. It's like when you jump from a tower. After you jump, there is no way back. And the same way is here. If you decide, this is my way, you convert yourself to become Jewish, then you have to keep the mitzvahs. And if you don't keep the mitzvahs, you are going to be punished the same way as a Jew is punished. Another example. When a Jew takes a slave, a goy, through the year, he has to convert him to become Jewish, and he is Jewish, and he has to do the mitzvahs as a woman. And if he is being released, he has to do all the mitzvahs as a man. When he is in slavery, the Torah gives him, but he has to keep the mitzvahs of women. Because his time belongs to the master, and the same way as women are, not that they don't have to do certain mitzvahs, because it's connected with time. Why?
The children.
Because the women have a big job. And because this big job, like to raise the kids and to keep the household and be the inside of the house, it takes time.
Sure.
It's like, it's funny enough, I don't know if I told you, I read an article a few weeks ago about three rabbaniyot that they write about, Orthodox rabbaniyot. This is a new thing, yes? That's a new thing. Now we have, I don't know how, if they call themselves rabbanit or rabba, I don't know. I think rabbanit, because normally a rabbanit would be the wife of the rabbi, and she would act, also she would act and do a lot of things in the community with no problem. But nobody looked for special titles. You know, there are a couple, there are one. The rabbi used to talk with the men, and the rabbanit used to talk with the women, and they used to help the kahila, each one in his own way. And normally, if the man was clever enough to be a rabbi, his wife was also quite clever to know all the rules and all the mitzvahs, and she could help everybody who approached her. And nobody did a big trust out of it, because that's the way it is. Now it's a new thing. So they interviewed those three women that are rabbaniyot. And one of them, it was very interesting. You know, sometimes you think to yourself, why Chazal are doing this or that? Because, you know, in this modern world, maybe you have to change it. A lot of things. And sometimes you find out, normal way, a natural way, a normal article, you find out, wow, now I understand. So this rabbanit said a very interesting thing. I find it difficult, especially on Shabbos, when I have to go to shul and my kids are still at home. And normally I used to prepare my kids and do everything at home and prepare things. And now, when I'm a rabbanit, though, as a normal Jewish woman, I didn't have to go to shul to daven. I can go, but I didn't have to. So I prepared the kids, I prepared the house, and then I went to shul. Now, because I'm a rabbanit, I have to be the first one in shul. I have to go to shul, and it disturbs our normal life. Because my husband, he cannot stay at home, because he has to go, by law, he has to go to shul. He's not a patur from going to shul. Only women are up to all. And then I said to her, look how clever Chazal were. They didn't say women are less or women are more. They said very simple thing. Everybody's got a job. And in order to keep the job in the right way, we decide that men have to do those mitzvahs and women have to do those mitzvahs, and those mitzvahs that are connected with time, they don't have to do. They can do them, by the way, but they don't have to do them. Why? Because if the husband and the wife will have to do all the mitzvahs, who is going to deal with the kids? Who is going to deal with the house? The Torah is a way of life. And as a way of life, the Torah decided that men and women have different jobs. The same way, Kohen, Levi, Israel. That's the world. That's the world, the way it's built. And I so much like this article, because she herself was telling exactly the reason why the Rabbonim decided that the women shouldn't be rabbis. There's a very simple reason. And by the way, we saw last week, Dvorah, Nevi'ah, we see women that are special women, that hey, they can manage to do both. It happens also. And it also happened the other side around. When we look at some of the prophets, their children, because they were so much occupied with the public, their children didn't exactly came out. Eliyahu Kohen, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, yeah. His kids were not, they were clever and everything, but they were not deserved to be his followers. And his servant, Yehoshua, he becomes his follower. Why? Because with all due respect, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all his greatness, he a little neglected the house. So it's a joint venture, a home, a Jewish home. So God, in order to make order in this chaos, he decided, that's the job of a man, that's the job of a woman. And of course, sometimes you have men that cannot do the job of a man, and you have women that cannot do the job of the women. It happens. I'm not saying not, but there is, we have to look at the klal, what it is. And this is exactly the idea behind understanding that also regarding us being Jewish, we have obligation. And it's a privilege. And we have to understand that it has to start from us. The greatness of those Gerim is, that's something that the Gerim are better than us. Why? Because they chose to become Jewish. We didn't. And when you choose, and not like what they do, the Giurim today, which is a joke. I'm talking about real Gerim. Somebody who really wants to be a part, like yesterday somebody told me that somebody didn't know, he married a son of a friend. He married a Gioret. He fell in love with a Goya. And the Goya loved the Jewish tradition, and they decided to get married. But she did
it takes a proper way. It takes a
proper way. Now, he says, the funny enough is she's more religious than him.
because
I'm saying, if you really do it, you do it because you want to be a part of Am Yisrael. You want to do the mitzvahs. Not because you want to get married, not because you want money, or not because of any other reason. But the thing is, if you choose the way, that's the best way. So, what is the lesson for us? Though we were born Jewish, we have to choose to be Jewish. If you understand what I mean. Because this make us feel much better. Because our problem is, it's like we said, you have to, but you were born, so automatically you want to fight against it. But when it's your choice, it's a whole different story. And Shema Yisrael, there are a lot of kavanot you do in Shema Yisrael. And it's impossible to do all the kavanot. But one of the kavanot is to understand that, I think Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, why we have Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, three times the name of God. And there are a lot of explanations, and one of them is a beautiful explanation. It says, Hashem Elokeinu, He is our God because He is the only one, but He is also Elokeinu because we choose Him. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He is one, and He is the only one, but our belief is that if He wasn't the only one, we still would choose Him. And that's a real belief. It doesn't contradict. God is one, but don't worship God because He is the only one. Worship God because you want to worship Him. Because you choose to worship Him. Because that's the grace, that's the idea behind Yitro. He chose, He made a decision, a hard decision. And we're talking about hearing. We cannot stop and talking about what happened in Aseret HaDibot. They said, Ro'im et ha-kolot. Ve'a'am ro'im et ha-kolot. They saw the voice. How can you see the voice? How can you see the voice? So, I think I told it to you last year, there was this guy, Guggenheim. You can Google it, and you'll find us a very interesting test he did, experiment, and it's unbelievable. He took this machine that makes, I don't know how you call it, that makes, when you talk to it, it makes the scripts, like the
it writes it.
Yes. So he talked to this machine, and he says the Aleph Bet, and amazing, this machine did the Aleph, and the Bet, and the Gimel. when you look at it, and you can look at it, see it on the internet and Google, it's not, let's say, the perfect Gimel or the perfect Aleph, but you see the letter. And why is it not perfect? It's also a reason. Because maybe we don't pronounce it in the right way. Because, you know, it's like you have the Ashkenazi pronouncement, you have the Sephardi pronouncement, you have the Yamanite pronouncement. Which one is the real one, the truth one? We don't know. So maybe if somebody will find out, through maybe through this, I don't know, can find out maybe what is the right exact pronouncement. But he tried it in the what he knows, and it's unbelievable. You see all the alphabet. It talks, and you see the machine makes the Aleph. Now, he said, maybe it works with all languages. So he tried. Doesn't work. It's not gibberish.
So my husband, when he answered the phone, he goes and he put his glasses on me.
To see the voice.
Well, I have a friend who doesn't hear well, and she has a phone, and it prints out exactly.
That's what I wanted to say. Now, one of the explanations is that Am Yisrael got to the level of seeing the voice. Because the voice also is something that happens in the air. You know, there are those, how do you say, you cannot see the waves. But if you have, let's say, if you get a special ability, you will see the waves.
Right.
So in other words, if you are in a very high spiritual way, you connect to the spiritual side of you, you start seeing spiritual things. It's like dogs listen and they hear certain voices, level of voices that we cannot hear. So in Ma'amad Har Sinai, what happened, Am Yisrael got this high level that they could see the voice coming out. Like seeing the letters in the air, seeing the waves. How does it work? How is it radio work? How is it a loudspeaker? Was the same way. Somebody you have this membrane, and the voice shocks it, and it moves it, and according to the movement, you hear the voice. So it's very interesting when we try to look and understand what the Torah is telling us. So the Torah is telling us that Am Yisrael, at that Ma'amad Har Sinai, were at the highest level. That they got to the level of seeing the voice. And this is the level we should come. We're talking about hearing. Vayishma Yitro. How do you hear? How do you act when you hear something? You know, for example, somebody wants to wake up in the morning, he puts an alarm. But some of us, when they hear the alarm, what do? Turn to the other side. You heard the alarm! Why do you turn to the other side? Because you don't want to get up. So in other words, it's not enough to hear, it's to act accordingly. And to see the voice. Then you get to a very high level. And one of the things is that we have to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. There are six things, the Ashkenazi have six things every morning that they try to remember. And it's Parashat Aman, Kirat Yamsuf, and Amalek. And among them is Ma'amad Har Sinai. And I always thought that Ma'amad Har Sinai means Kabbalat HaTorah. That what is the whole idea of standing in the Mount of Sinai is receiving the Torah. And I found out, very clearly written, Lizkor Ma'amad Har Sinai, to remember us standing in front, nothing about the Torah. And I couldn't understand it till I saw this beautiful explanation. What is Ma'amad Har Sinai? Ma'amad Har Sinai is an unbelievable moment in the life of Am Yisrael. First of all, it's written Vayichan Sham Yisrael in singular. In other words, at that moment that they received the Torah, Am Yisrael were one. This is, even Rashi writes, at that time they were one, but all the other times they were not. We don't need Rashi to tell us, we can see it all around us, unfortunately. But I must tell you, I told you this before, also in the past, I felt it. And you can feel it also, if you want, on Shavuos morning, when there is Tfilat Vatikim in the Kotel. And what happens then, it's an unbelievable thing. You see, 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 and a half, I don't remember exactly, this, like time where normally everybody still sleeps, and the streets are empty. You go in Jerusalem, and you see all the streets are filling up with people. Now, okay, also in the day you have a lot of people going around. But in the day, everybody goes in a different direction. But then, what do you see? It's an amazing thing. You see everybody is going to the same direction. It's unbelievable. Like all the people in the street, old people, young people, religious, not all proper religious, Hasidim, Mitnagdim, everybody is going in the same direction. You know, this, to see it, to feel it, it's an unbelievable feeling. That's Am Israel together. And then when you come to the Kotel, and you see all the people there, and you start to feeling, what was the idea of Mahamad Har Sinai? And that's nothing, because you're talking here about 100,000 people, I don't know, 200, I don't know how many people you can get there, but definitely not millions. And in Mahamad Har Sinai, there were millions. And now you think to yourself, no, what's happening here? We are all one, but, and this was very interesting, it's very hard to daven there, I must say, because you have thousands of minions. From my right side, I have a Yamanite minion. From the left side, Sfaradi minion. From the in the front, a Hasidic minion. On the back, I had a Ashkenaz minion. And my minion was a Yekes minion. Now, everybody like has a different nosach. And it's very hard to concentrate. But then comes the time of Shmoneh Esrei. That's Hanetz. When the sun comes up, that's the best time to daven Shmoneh Esrei. And the whole idea is for all those people to come to start Shmoneh Esrei at that time. And suddenly
it's quiet.
Everything becomes quiet. And this feeling is heavenly. It's, I always said, Mimini Michael, Mismoli Gabriel, Milfana Yuel, Machorai Rafael, Val Rosh Hashanah. From the right side is the angel Michael. From the left side,
Raphael.
In front of me, Raphael. From the other side, yeah. Gabriel. And on top of all of it is the Shekhinah, is God. And this was the feeling. And now imagine this when we remember Mahamad Har Sinai. To understand the idea behind it. And that's the power of Am Yisrael. If we are together, nobody can fight against us. Nobody can win. Unfortunately, we are not always together.
No.
But as we said, Vayishma Yitro, we have to listen, and we have each one of us in his small way to do what we can in order to be united. Each one of us to try to do the small thing of Ve'ahavta l'racha kamocha, because it's the basic of everything. Because otherwise, we've got nothing. Because it's not each one of us as an individual by himself. Each one of us for all. That's the idea of Am Yisrael. That's the idea to remember Mahamad Har Sinai. Why do we have to? Why it's so important? Because at that moment in time, Am Yisrael were united. In other words, it is possible. And as I said, yes, you can see it in you also now. Unfortunately, also it only lasts for half an hour or whatever, and then everybody goes to his own place, and all the things start again. But it shows you that Am Yisrael, at the end of the day, they're all good people. They all want the same thing. They all want to worship God. They all want to praise God. They all want to be together. Unfortunately, in order to be together in our times is when there is a war, when there is a tzor, and then you see unbelievable things. What people do when they think that you need them, they will do things you cannot believe. And I always say, you know, when you go abroad and you meet somebody, from Ranana. Yes, I'm from here. Ooh, the best friends. You know, you can see it in the street. You don't even say hello. Why? Because when do we feel the need to be together?
When we're in trouble.
When we're in troubles or when we're alone in a different country. Now, but it's the same thing. It's the same guy. It's the same guy. It's the same person. Why are you so nice to him when you are in abroad, and why are you not so nice to your neighbor when you're here? Yes, I felt that we have something in common. What do you mean? You have something in common with everybody here. And you see, maybe if we try to think differently, out of the box, out of the place where we are, maybe we start to think like a ger that comes to join Am Yisrael, to see the beauty of our tradition, to see the beauty of being Jewish, to choose from our own will to be friends, to be together. Maybe we look at things differently. Bezrat Hashem.